fun to listen to. Born in Bethlehem. Hope you liked our Magi from the East. Special effect there. So we're going to look at a little bit closer how God provides us with joy. And we have heard a lot about joy in this service. We were hearing about it in our scripture passages, prophecies, and we were hearing it in the song, "When Will He Come?" We watch and wait to celebrate. And we say in that song, "Heavens and earth will rejoice." And then the children were singing, "This is Jesus. He's our Savior. We will praise his name forever and worship him," which is all about joy. Joy infuses us with the ability to worship God and to sing to him. We sing so much at Christmas time because the joy of the world has come. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Amen. And then you find this passage in Isaiah. And I'm going to do my clicker now. Got the clicker going? Yes. Isaiah 12 really resonates with joy and talks about the place of worshiping and praising God with joy. Verses 2 and 3, Isaiah 12. "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation." And then a couple verses later, verse 5, "Sing to the Lord." Sorry, I got a verse for that. "Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy. For great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you." The first reason for joy is the fact of life itself. We love being in a place where people are experiencing joy. The French have a saying, joie de vivre, the joy of life. And joy of life, and they do know how to celebrate. I don't know if you've ever seen the Cirque du Soleil. Cirque du Soleil, it's a famous show. They've traveled all over the world. That starts in Montreal. It was born and created in Montreal because there's a French people, the French Canadians, where Hillary and I lived for 6 years, and they have a joie de vivre. They have the joy of life, and that's also known in France as well. And perhaps this picture illustrates it the most. Get a water fountain, you get a little child dancing in it. They love it. The joy of life, the joie de vivre. And it means the joy of life, and having it, you possess what we all seek. We all want to experience the thrill of being alive. Because when we do, we know we are enjoying life itself. And this is how it is supposed to be. But another of our reasons for joy is that now and forever, we can receive the assurance of a full and glorious redemption purchased for us by our Savior, Jesus. Let me say that again. A basic reason for our joy is to receive the assurance of a full and glorious redemption purchased for us by our Savior, Jesus. He grants us release. See, let's set the butterfly free and released. Our Lord Jesus brings us release from the burdens and darkness of life, brings us into light. And he grants us a pardon from all of our sins. The verdict of the judge is you are free, you are forgiven, you are set free from the penalty. You don't have to sit in the penalty box. Anyone ever watch hockey? Hockey, you got a penalty box if you've been fouling everybody. Or the yellow flag thrown in football, or any of those things. The umpire calling you out at baseball. He grants you a pardon from that decision that renders you guilty. You are set free, you are released, you are pardoned, and he grants you freedom from fear. Freedom from condemnation and no fear. The Lord of the Lord's love casts out fear so that we may approach him, our holy God, and we can be one with him. These are all powerful reasons for joy. How does a prisoner feel when he is set free and granted freedom from prison, he is rejoicing and glad. He has been brought out from where he lost everything to where he's restored. And he hopefully can live his freedom well. And that is our liberation from the prison of sin and death. Rejoice and rejoice and be glad, for the Lord has done a great thing. Gloria, gloria, gloria. In excelsis Deo, that's the Latin for glory to God in the highest, what the angels sang. It's an expression of that, the angels singing. It's a song of joy in which you are rejoicing in God and his works. God is visiting the earth in the birth of Jesus, who is the fulfillment of all of these prophecies. And he's a promise given by Gabriel to the mother, Mary, saying that the one to be born to you is the Messiah. He is the Savior, the one to redeem Israel from all of her sins and to grant her release, pardon, and freedom from condemnation. Gloria in excelsis Deo. The work of our Lord Jesus Christ is that the anger of the Lord is turned away. It's turned away from Israel. It's turned away from us. It's turned away from all those who come and enter in to the salvation of our Lord. And he brings us the greatest comfort in all the world. That is why we rejoice at the birth of Jesus. Why we sing our songs of Easter celebration, because we know that the work of Jesus was made complete. What he came into the world to do when he was born, he came to complete on the cross. The anger is turned away and we've received the comfort of the Lord according to the promise to the servant Israel. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world, was born for his purpose, the Lord has become our refuge and our vindication. So that is the thing we say. I say to people, when you come to heaven, what are you going to say? What is your answer? You know, the jokes about St. Peter at the gates of heaven, you know, what encounter you have there. But really, honestly, when you come to heaven to be with the Lord forever, what are you going to say? You know, is it your report card you're bringing? Are you bringing your list of accomplishments? Are you bringing your number of church services, your gifts given? No. The only thing you're bringing is the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus is my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. That's how you come into heaven. And it's very simple. And you rejoice in that, Lord being our refuge. I'm not sure what it was like to complete the Brooklyn Bridge. The Brooklyn Bridge was a first of its kind, linking the island of Manhattan with Staten Island and Brooklyn and all of those places. And the Brooklyn Bridge was an amazing feat. They had to build these big pillars, and there were a lot of Irishmen who went in, down to those pillars and helped to dig them. The caissons, they're called. And this completing of the bridge connected these two places so that they could freely come back and forth. Same thing would have been felt when the Golden Gate was finished out there on the West Coast in California. It linked the North Shore of the Bay, of San Francisco Bay, with the peninsula where the city, main city of San Francisco is. When that bridge opened, there was great rejoicing because you could go back and forth. Because there's all kinds of new connections. There's new kinds of trading. There's a new sense of adventure and communication that can be found across these stupendous bridges. I'm sure that was some of the feeling you get when you know that you have had a bridge linking you with our Lord, our holy God, through Jesus Christ. And when you come to Jesus, it says here in the passage we were reading, 12 verse 3, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. This water will bring you joy because it refreshes you. You have been parched, and you have been longing, thirsty for God to come into your life, thirsty for his Holy Spirit to inspire you and give you strength to sing and to make music before the Lord. There's nothing better than a time of refreshing and renewal. This water will bring joy because it sustains you. If you've had to travel 1,000 miles, you can now carry on for another 1,000. The thought of that water refreshing the hiker. able to go, especially if you're hiking here in Guam. You get very thirsty very fast. When Moses had brought the people through the dry land over the other side, and the waters had managed to overthrow Pharaoh and his army, who was chasing them to take them back as prisoners or kill them, they danced. Miriam sang a song, and they danced, the Israelites, on the shores of the Red Sea, having been delivered through the work and leadership of Moses. And when David was dancing in front of the ark as it entered Jerusalem, there was great joy. And when Nehemiah was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, he had rebuilt them, there was great joy. And in fact, he had choirs, trumpeters, and choirs of singers surrounding, walking the walls of Jerusalem, celebrating. Great is the Lord, and great things he has done, rejoicing in God. And it's just part of Christmas. It's part of Christian life. It's part of who we are. You know, many, many churches around the world like to sing this refrain at Easter time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, from the Handel's Messiah. And it's a beautiful hymn. It resonates with joy. It resonates the joy we experience when we know the Lord. And just remember and never forget that the joy of the Lord is your strength. It gives you strength to carry on. The joy of the Lord helps you. I remember a friend of ours in Montreal was going through a marriage that was breaking down. It was on the verge of divorce. And he remembers sitting in his car and turning on a song. And he would hear this music, and it would just inspire him. It would bring him joy in the midst of his darkness, bring him light and strength. And that marriage was revived, and it survived, and it went on, and it's still going strong today by the grace of God. Joy is the true gift of Christmas, not the expensive gifts that call for time and money. We can communicate this joy simply with a smile, a kind gesture, a little help, forgiveness, and the joy we give will certainly come back to us. Gifts given will be gifts back, you know. Let us pray that this presence of the liberating joy of God will shine forth in our lives, that we will have a reason to sing. Isaiah 12, 5 and 6 says, "Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you." And then remember Hebrews 12, regarding Mount Zion. There, the writer of Hebrews says, "But you, people of God, have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." We are one with the heavenly saints who cheer us on. We are one with all of God's people in this life and those who have gone before. And there in this city of Jerusalem, there are thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. And there gathered the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. And we go there, we rejoice, knowing and remembering that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen.